Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast. We discuss things like faith and music and culture, and this is episode number 14.
14!
I'm Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And we started this podcast a few months ago now because we went through life change, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Yep.
I was told when Jake was an infant, you better not blink because it goes by really, really quick. Someone wiser than me said that to me, and I blinked. There were great times there, but it doesn't seem like it lasts near as long.
Now I'm in college.
And so now he's moved on to college, but he's nearby. And the great thing is we can continue to have these faith conversations. These are conversations that I think every parent needs to have with their teenagers, their children along the way. I consider that your number one priority as a parent is to disciple your children in the ways of God, in the ways of Jesus, into adulthood and beyond. It continues to go on, and you can have these faith conversations. And so that's why we started The Kitchen Table, to have more of those faith conversations and encourage you to have those faith conversations as well.
The faith question for this week is, does God answer prayers? I know it seems like a really dumb question, like obviously God answers prayers, but I'm kind of leaning more towards the side of, like, how can we trust that God answers prayers? You know what I mean?
The concept of prayer is believed by the majority of the people in the world, no matter your religion.
Yeah.
They believe in the concept of prayer. And that's an interesting thing. As we're recording this podcast, we are celebrating the anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about it a little bit later in the culture shock segment. What happened after 9/11 was everyone was praying. Churches were open and people were coming together and anyone could pray in any situation. And we weren't arguing about, oh, well, you can't pray in this situation and you can't. It didn't matter at that point. So everyone believes in the concept of prayer. And I think that everyone believes God does answer prayer. The problem is he doesn't answer the way we want many times. Here's a good story from my own personal history. When I was in high school, I was in a community Bible study with other high school students. This was done in someone's home and it involved people from all kinds of different churches that I went to school with. And there was a guy in my class and a gal that was a year older than us that was in this group. Well, they let her went on and got married, you know, and they were great churchgoers growing up. I found out, you know, years later, they're married several years now, have kids, that a friend of theirs got cancer and they were praying. I mean, they knew God's word. They were faithful in their attendance in church and they were praying for God to heal their friend with cancer. And they were intercessing, which means they're just nonstop praying, God heal this person. God healed this person, but he healed this person not the way that they wanted this person to be healed, which is, of course, take the cancer away. God instead chose to take her home.
Yeah.
Because of that rocking their faith relationship with God, they turned their back on God, and that decision set off a domino effect of things in their life. They're now divorced. He is now searching and trying other religions, trying to find some kind of inner peace in himself.
Yeah.
She has completely even changed her preferences and sexual orientation. We'll just describe it that way. These are people that grew up in the faith, that had a marriage and a family established in the faith, and because of that not being answered the way that they wanted to, they've completely turned their back towards God and they're still trying to find something to fill that void that they abandoned.
Yeah.
God doesn't always answer prayer the way that we want him to.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Now, what about this question? Are there times when God doesn't answer a prayer?
Doesn't answer is kind of, I don't think that's the right way to say it.
Okay.
I think it's more of he answers it, but in the way that we don't want. You know what I mean? So like he.
But is there a time where he is just flat out silent and doesn't give an answer?
I think so. I think that leads to the testing. You know how we talked about this a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Testing of our faith. I think, like as you said before, he gives us things that we can't handle sometimes, but it helps us grow in our relationship with God. It helps us grow in our faith. And so I think at some points he stays silent because he knows that we can do it.
So the non-answer is an answer.
Technically, yeah.
Okay. Some different resources that I've pulled for this podcast. The first one, the different ways that God does answer our prayer. God can say no.
Yeah.
He says, no, I love you too much. I know where this will lead and what will transpire if I say yes. And so I love you too much. So the answer is no. We don't like to get that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe deep down inside, we're searching for that answer. And when we get that answer, we're sort of relieved. It just depends. If you're talking about the healing of a loved one from a disease, we want that answer to be yes. We do. And eventually we get to the point where that person is just in so much misery physically that we want that answer to be yes, to take them. You know, that happens as well. Different ways that God answers. No, I love you too much. Yes, but you'll have to wait. That's a very specific answer.
Yeah.
It's an answer we don't like because we like things to be super convenient, super fast in the moment. This is the way our society is today. But maybe it's something that God will give you that yes, but he's also going to teach you patience at the same time. He might answer yes, but it's not going to be what you expect.
Oh.
I think that happens many times, and I've described it this way. We make plans and strategies when we're trying to do God's mission for us. And I think many times God just sort of leans back, folds his arms, and says, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, but I have something better in mind. And then he does what he has better in mind. So he does say yes, but it's not going to be what you expect. Another way of saying it, yes, and here's more.
Yeah.
Giving what we need, not what we want.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
A good friend of mine is the dad and manager of some Christian artists that you know. His name is David Smallbone. So his daughter is Rebecca St. James. His sons are Luke and Joel from For King and Country. David Smallbone says, you know, felt God leading him to promote Christian concerts in Australia. That's when Rebecca and all the siblings were young and they lived in Australia. He was a Christian concert promoter. Only 5% of people in Australia believe in Christ. So you can imagine how difficult and how much of a risk it would be if David would do this kind of thing, especially trying to take care of his family. He literally was $250,000 in debt because of him trying to do this. They repossessed his home. He has 6 children. He's trying to find work. That's when someone in Nashville, in Tennessee, the Center of Christian Music, offered him a job. They sold all their furniture. You don't know their story. It's an amazing story. They sold all their furniture, everything they owned, so they could buy the plane tickets for their family to fly to the United States with just the promise of this job offer.
Wow.
Right? A few weeks after they arrived, David was told that position's no longer available. They had their house possessed. They sold everything they owned to fly to the United States, and now they're told, sorry, that job's not available. He told me he could not get out of bed for days. This is a father taking care of 5 kids, could not get out of bed for days. Explained to the kids what happened. They got on their knees and they prayed, and they asked God for help. Interesting things began to happen in that family's life. God provided bags of groceries, provided them a minivan, even odd jobs. Their biggest surprise was that Rebecca, his daughter, at the time just 15 years old, got a record contract. And she recorded her first album using an old family name, not Smallbone, but St. James. So flash forward all these years later, because I remember years ago when Rebecca was touring and we do shows with her, you know, it'd be her and then all of her parents were there. Her entire family traveled. Yeah. They traveled on a bus together, and her brothers were literally doing all the gear and moving things around to get the concert set up. And now, of course, For King and Country are one of the biggest bands there are. You can see what's happened in all those years. She was one of the biggest artists during that time, was one of the youngest on the list of top evangelists in the world, in the United States, under 40, and continues to do that. Sometimes God surprises us. He doesn't give us that clear answer. He'll give us a yes and more. And we don't know what that more is going to be. And sometimes we have to go through difficult things to get that answer.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Sometimes the answer is this way. Yes, I thought you'd never ask. He's been waiting for us all along to make that ask, and we never did. So there's some different ways that God does respond to us. Does he answer prayer? Yes, he does. Sometimes he gives us that a yes answer. Sometimes the answer is yes, but you're not paying attention. Does that make sense?
If you could elaborate a little more, that'd be...
Well, we don't recognize it when he says yes.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know what that yes looks like. We expect it to look like something else. So when we pray, we look around, we think, God, did you really say yes? Would you just come on, say yes, will you? And he already has. We're not paying attention to it. You've heard this story before. A man's house was flooded when a nearby river overflowed its banks during a historic rainstorm. He was forced to climb up on the roof. As the water rose up, he prayed, Lord, save me. Don't let me drown. A few minutes later, a man in a motorboat saw him and came over. Get in, and I'll take you to safety. He said, no, thanks. I've already asked God, and he's going to answer my prayer. He'll save me. Well, then the water reached up to the top of the roof, and it splashed over his shoes, and the man saw another boat heading towards him. The man said, jump in. He says, sorry, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. So, Lord, please save me. I need your help now. Then when the water was up to his waist, a rescue helicopter spotted him, came over, dropped down the ladder, grab hold of the harness, I'll pull you up. He said, no, that's okay. God will rescue me. I'm waiting for him. It wasn't long before the water was too deep and the man basically drowned, got to heaven, and asked God, why didn't you save me? Why didn't you take care of me? He said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What else did you want? Sometimes we don't see the yes. Maybe it's a substitute yes, different from what we had in our minds to begin with. God sees down the road ahead of us. God can see around the corner from what's ahead of us, while we can only see literally what's in front of us. He answers the yes plus. That's sort of like the story of the small bones.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a yes, and it's going to be beyond what you imagine. Maybe it's a partial yes. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So maybe it's that partial yes that he's going to be giving us.
Mm-hmm.
He might answer us this way. Are you sure?
Yeah, I can see that one.
Wants us to reevaluate things. You see something desirable at the store, whatever that is. Hey, God, I could really use that.
Golden Oreos, double stuffed.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You pray to God for double stuffed golden Oreos?
Oh, they're so good. They're so good.
Oh, Lord, please help me to get that double stuffed golden Oreos. Mm. It may be on sale today. But then you see something else that you want even more. Lord, never mind my previous prayer. Please help me get this other thing. Then you go on to the other thing, and you go on to the other thing.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
If you're praying for something big, you might need to pray for some time and enlist others to join you. If you pray just once when you first hear about it, God may suspect you're less serious than you should be. So continually praying for something big, beyond golden double-stuffed Oreos.
Yeah.
But we need to just realize that sometimes God does answer no. When you were a child and wanted to drink the bottle of Windex, because it looked good and it was blue.
Did I ever want to do that?
No, I kind of wondered, but no. You're going to tell them no, because you know it's not good for you, right? Well, God's the same way. God knows what's not good for us. So no is sometimes an answer that we can rejoice over, and time will many times clarify that answer, the no answer, was the right answer. We just have to trust in God. That's what our relationship is built upon. It's built on trust with him. And sometimes the answer is simply no, and we have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes an answer can be no, but refocus. God knows when we need to rethink what we're asking him for. You pray, Lord, please move this mountain in front of me. When the Lord is waiting for you to pray, Lord, help me climb this mountain. Refocus. You pray for that God will keep a coworker away from you because he or she is a time robber. The coworker keeps bugging you until you change your prayer to ask how you can help the coworker no longer need to ask you so many questions. You go to lunch with the coworker. You discover some issues. You help the coworker, and now they can rely on other people for help. The answer of no, but you'll thank me later. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When you get that no, and you just cannot believe that God said no to this. And in that moment, it's never the answer you want. Yeah. And you don't realize it. Many times, years later, is when you realize that was the right answer. When your grandmother passed away. You know, she had heart disease. She was a diabetic. We wanted her to be healed and to stay with us. God said no, and you'll thank me later. But it was later before we realized, yeah, she would have suffered. She would have lived a miserable life with all those health issues.
Mm-hmm.
We were the ones being selfish, wanting her to stay. People sometimes pray that God would deliver a certain person into their hands. And when that doesn't happen, they're distraught. But a few years later, they learn how that other person turned out, and they are grateful for the negative response by God. And sometimes it takes that long. Sometimes the answer is this way. No, and stop being ridiculous. And that's the relationship we have with God. Because your parent can tell you, no, stop being ridiculous, in the same way God can, right?
Yeah, that's a common one for me.
Do I tell you no and stop being ridiculous a lot?
Yeah.
I do. God can work any kind of miracle he wants. That's true. But even in our own lives, that doesn't suspend the law of physics in order to get me to an appointment on time. Lord, make so-and-so love me. Lord, take that dent out of my car. Lord, let this huge piece of triple chocolate frosted cake not add to my weight. Those are things that need that stop being ridiculous response.
My golden Oreos.
Golden Oreos. The same is true for prayers that ask God to help you when it comes to sin or indulge harmful behavior. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. When you pray, don't ramble like heathens who think they'll be heard if they talk a lot. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
I'm in Intro to Sociology with Dr. Olney. It's probably one of my favorite classes right now. yesterday we had class and he was talking about different ways of like studying and how of getting data. He said that there was a study of people who were in the hospital. They got like the same thing, like the same treatment. Half of the group was assigned to a prayer group and the other half was not. Like they just had medical and they got all the same medical attention, all the same medical dosage, all that. The study showed that the people who were in the prayer group actually healed quicker. They got better faster. They were healthier faster. And I just thought that was really cool and it fit really well.
Will God definitely answer your prayer? Will you get an answer? Those who rely on Him, Jesus seems to be willingly, wildly generous in answering prayers. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. The remaining in Jesus and have His words to remain in you means that they're conducting lives that are aware of Him, that rely on Him, that listen to what He says. When we do that, we're in a right relationship with Christ, then we're able to ask Him whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we're going to get the answer we want.
Yeah.
But we are able to ask Him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He does hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. God answers our prayers according to His will.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
What are God's intentions towards us? The Bible describes the kind of relationship that God wants with us because that's what prayer is. Prayer is our communication to God, and it's a part of the relationship. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him, which means trust Him. Did you catch that? It's like someone rising out of their recliner to come help you. He rises to show us compassion.
Mm-hmm.
As for God, His way is perfect. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, fear out of reverence, who put their hope in His unfailing love. God's greatest display of His love and commitment to you is this. Jesus said this, "Greater love has no other than this, than He lay down His life for His friends." And that's what Jesus did for us. But what about the unanswered prayer? Because an unanswer can happen.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't feel like He's given us an answer. God tells us to give our concerns to Him in every situation. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And the circumstances of our life, they could be going out of control. We don't know where the answer is. But you know what? Those circumstances are not out of control. God can keep us together.
Mm-hmm.
God asks us to continue to trust in Him, to walk by faith and not by sight. It's not a blind faith. It's based on the very character of God. God asks us to trust His integrity, His character, His compassion, His love, His wisdom, His righteousness on our behalf. He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." So we're to trust in Him at all times. We're to pour out our heart to Him, and He is our refuge. So that's why we pray. And that's why we're specific in our prayers,
mm-hmm.
in our asking of specific things. Now, I'm not talking the Lamborghini or the double-stuffed golden Oreos. I'm talking specifically what we want. God, we would love to see this person healed.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to trust you enough that whatever decision you make, we know that is according to your will. But this is what we would really like. And you can ask Him that way. And He will answer you in one of many different ways, which we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Final thought?
I like the different ways. That was really helpful.
All right, let's move into Music Matters. All right, I have a new song this week from a fairly new artist who has splashed on the scene.
Splashed.
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 Great guy. I love his heart. His name is Zach Williams.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him? You know Zach Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know his songs.
Yeah.
Old Church Choir, Fear is a Liar.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a new song out called Survivor, and I'm going to let him talk about the song.
Hey guys, it's Zach Williams, and today I'm going to share with you just a little bit about the story behind the song Survivor. This story kind of comes from actually my wife's own personal story. At 14 years old, she survived a fire accident, and I just had this picture in my mind when I was writing part of the chorus that I pictured God literally pulling her out of this fire and saving her life. And I think for me, just thinking about the stories that I've heard over the last couple of years, we all have a survivor story. Maybe we've not actually been pulled out of a fire like my wife, but we've all been pulled out of something in our life that we're not happy with, or a valley that we've been living in, just surviving. And God has called us to be free. I think when we truly accept what God has in store for us and give our hearts to Him, that's when we truly become survivors.
Now I'm alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love can cry.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I like it.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in October. He's coming in concert.
Is he coming all of it?
Yes, he is. Homecoming weekend.
Sweet.
Little plug there. There you go. October 27th at Olivet Nazarene University.
Okay, stop advertising. My song for this week, it is not a Christian band. I know, I had to ask you before I could actually pick this one.
It's not a problem.
This band, they're kind of like that band that is super positive. Like, mm-hmm. They don't have like negative or like cuss words or anything.
Sure.
But the band is called Banners. And the song I chose is Someone to You from the album Empires of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really positive song because the lyrics are like, I want to be someone to you. Like, I want to help you and I want to be there for you. And so that's how I kind of see it. I see it as how God was there for us. We need to be there for others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my little...
You mean the golden
mm-hmm.
rule?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Just love thy neighbor as thyself.
What?
Yeah.
That's the secular version. Love thy neighbor. That's the biblical version.
Okay.
Here's a little snippet of Someone to You by Banners.
You know, I like positive stuff that's not necessarily for the Christian marketplace. Still is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for it?
The oldie but goldie.
All right, here we go. You mentioned last week that I hadn't picked a Striper song.
Oh. Here we go.
And the reason that I'm picking one is because I also want to ask folks to pray for Striper, the guitarist, Oz Fox, who is currently not touring with him, getting tests done. They found some lesions on his brain, and he's had some seizures, and so they're doing a treatment plan for him. And he had a GoFundMe account, and they've covered his medical expenses.
That's
it's amazing.
Awesome.
He's just a great guy. They have a great ministry, he and his wife, even beyond the band. I'm going to go back to 1986 for this one. Big hit on MTV back in the day. Not the ballad we talked about last week. This one's called Calling on You from the album To Hell with the Devil. That's the name of the album. Striper, 1986. Here you go.
I remember listening to that one on your iPod.
I just smell the hairspray right now.
Oh my God.
Just that song brings back the smell of hairspray. It's 1986 all over again.
Yep. That's a good one.
All right, that's Music Matters. Time now for Culture Shock. Culture Shock. As we're recording this, probably launch tomorrow, but today is 9/11. We wanted to reminisce about 9/11 and how that changed things.
Mm-hmm.
The good things that happened after 9/11, in my opinion. Everyone's asking on social media today, do you remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard about it?
No.
And I specifically remember you were about 21 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yes. We were living in Kansas City. We were in our pre-field training to go to the mission field. And so we were in a little rental house right across from the training. And your mother had to take certain classes. I didn't because I'd already got a degree in what she had to take.
Uh-huh.
But I had to take some additional classes. She was getting ready to go to class. You were literally on my lap in a recliner. And we were watching the morning news show, which is, I forget which one it was. It was, you know, Good Morning America or one of those things, Today Show, whatever. And of course, they re-record that or they record it so it plays on the time zones at the right time. So you're not actually seeing it live. They might break into it live, and that's exactly what they did. They literally broke right into the broadcast that this horrible accident had happened. And of course, they got the footage and they're showing the smoke coming out of that tower. And we're just like, oh, this is a horrible accident. And so everyone is just glued to the TV. And then moments later, the second plane hits.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just like the nation at that time, whose televisions were on now and they were glued to the TVs no matter where they were. Simultaneously, at that moment, we realized this isn't an accident.
Yeah.
Changed everything. The day was over. Classes were canceled for your mom at that time, and days were over. But I found this great opinion piece from a pastor. His name is Ronnie Floyd, celebrating this day 17 years ago. And there are things that he was thankful for 9/11. Thankful that there were brave men and women who were willing to die for the sake of others. All those first responders who rushed into those buildings. I found it a couple weeks ago. Steve Buscemi, the actor.
Yeah.
You know Steve Buscemi, Con Air and Armageddon. He was a volunteer firefighter. He was actually at Ground Zero during that time.
Really?
Yeah. So he got called into duty, you know, so he wasn't one of the first responders, but he was definitely there afterwards working. Kind of crazy. But there are people out there. God grants this courageousness that they can make a difference.
Uh-huh.
Something else that this pastor talks about is how this brought the country together.
Yeah.
Everyone was deeply shaken. People were coming to churches to pray. Prayer was a normal occurrence in every situation. There was no one arguing about, no, you can't pray at this event.
Yeah.
Because everything at that point was thrown out the window. Any kind of political leaning, thrown out the window. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've gotten away from that. We need to get back to that again, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Changed everything when it comes to airports. Every time you fly on a plane, you realize that. Take shoes off, take a belt off. Family can't go to the gate with you anymore. Used to be that's the case.
Yeah.
Through all that hardship, they found a perfect peace, many. This story talks about a U.S. colonel, Army colonel, retired John Mahoney, had the habit of saying the Lord's Prayer every day. He was working on the 19th floor of the North Tower when that first plane hit.
Uh-huh.
He says there's 1,000 stories from 9/11. Some stories are of pain and survival. Most stories of heroism. He says his is a story of faith. He says he and his coworkers struggled to go down the escape stairs and all the chaos. He found himself reciting the Lord's Prayer and being filled with peace. He said it was a peace like the one he felt as a child when his mother was embracing him. He says, as I walked down the stairs, somewhere between the 12th floor and the 10th, somewhere between Our Father and Thy Will Be Done, this feeling came over me. Suddenly, I was wrapped in warmth, love, and comfort in that smoky, wet stairway in a burning building surrounded by 1,000 frightened people. I felt wonder. I felt God's peace, and I knew that regardless of the physical outcome, everything would be all right. Story of faith. A lot of good things came out of it. A lot of horrific things, of course, came out of it.
Yeah. The school that I went to, we had a senior trip and we went to New York City.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did, we went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum.
Mm-hmm.
It was really awesome. I remember the first time I went to New York, it was still Ground Zero.
Yeah. We went when we,
I was like eight.
And probably less than that.
Less.
Six, maybe? Six,
yeah, I think.
And it was just a big hole in the ground with a construction
and
fix
I remember, so they had the fences up so you couldn't see into it. And I remember people would poke through the holes that were in the fence.
So they could see through.
So they could see. And I remember looking at it and I just cried.
Yeah, you were deeply moved by it, even though you don't remember it at all.
I don't remember anything. And I was deeply moved. I was saddened by it. And then when I went back, so what they did was, if you haven't seen it, it's really awesome. The foundations of the two buildings, they dug holes and it's like a waterfall kind of thing into it. And then around both foundation holes, they have the names of everybody who passed away.
Yeah.
And I remember where I was standing, the name that was right in front of me was a lady and her preborn son.
Oh, wow.
And I just lost it. Like, I'm in the middle of New York losing it with my entire classmates. I'm the only one really crying because I was there before. None of them had ever been to Ground Zero.
Right.
I was just losing it. And they were like, are you okay? Like, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. It's just a really hard moment. And then we went into the memoriam and they did a really great job. They had all sorts of things. They had they obviously had videos. They had a bunch of videos of like first responders, first, just everything that was happening. Another thing that really got me was on this giant wall, it was a bunch of blue squares. It said, a day that we will never forget.
Right.
So if you go over to the bottom right corner, you walk up to it, it like explains what it is. And what it was they had people who were in New York City that day paint what the sky looked like before it happened.
Mm.
That was a really moving, it was just a really awesome thing to see that there was still hope, that it was still a normal day and that we can move past it, but never forget it. It's really good.
So we remember that this week on the kitchen table. So that wraps up Culture Shock. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. We hope you enjoyed episode 14 as we looked at the question, does God answer prayer? And looked at some music and, of course, remembered 9/11 this week as we celebrate that anniversary. Again, if you have a faith question that you would like to share with us, you can contact us a couple different ways. The first is on the Kitchen Table group on Facebook page. It's a group underneath the Shine.fm Chicago Facebook page. So go find us there. Share your thoughts with us. Any questions you want us to dive into on future podcast episodes, be sure to subscribe to the podcast no matter which different platform you utilize. We'd love you to get an update update every week as we do these. You can also follow us on Twitter and reach out to us there. My Twitter handle is simply my name, Brian Utter, U-T-T-E-R.
Mine's my nickname, Utter_Butter99.
And so you can follow us on Twitter there as well. We hope you appreciate the episode. Give us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.